Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Now, jumped into the year 2020. I don't know about you, I'm in my late 60s, and I'm thinking, you know what? I didn't think I'd ever make it this far. And many times, people say, are we making it even farther? Look at where we are now. People are living into their hundreds these days and getting there quite well. If we look back at our ancestors, when they hit 65, they truly looked 65. They felt 65, and they might have made it to 66. How have we evolved as humans in just 50, 60 years? It is incredible, the change in the human body, what we have available to us in our health of our body, mind, and soul, and really how we're engaged in this world. How is technology keeping up? How are all the medical therapies even being able to help us and support us in this journey? Today, my guest is Dr. Robert Willicks. His book is The Rejuvenation Solution, The 7-Day Plan That Jumpstarts Ageless Health. Dr. Willicks, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, Dr. Willicks, don't you think that even if you look back 50 years, we would have never had this discussion and how much we've evolved, yes?
Well, I don't think there's any question we wouldn't have had this discussion because we weren't thinking about healthy aging. We were thinking about aging as our ancestors did, and that is, well, you're old now, and you hear that all the time. You're old, so what do you expect? And I think my answer to it is, I expect as much as I can get out of my physical, spiritual, and mental well-being. That's what I expect.
Right. Well, you know what? If you truly look at it, we really, people over the age of 60 now, their mind really had to quickly evolve because if they were stuck in how they grew up, they wouldn't be able to accept what you and I are saying today about how to age in reverse, how to do some of these breakthroughs in medicine and health, because they wouldn't have had the capacity of their thoughts to be able to even accept it. I mean, we talk about soul and spirituality, and, you know, health is so much more than let's just go out and, you know, do 10 hours of aerobics a week, you know. It's so much more. But we would have never conceived of it even 20 years ago, right?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said we talk about spirituality. We didn't talk about that 10
right.
years ago. We didn't.
Right.
Now we talk about spirituality, and we talk about, you know, the mind-body as though we recognize that some of the pioneers in the field of mind-body medicine set the standards for proving that your thoughts create a reality, and the thoughts do create a chemical change in your body. And I always say to people, you know, when Candace Pert first described the fact that your thoughts create a chemical change in your body, we developed the field of psychoendocrinology. That's thought creating chemistry. Now that field is called psychoneuroendocrine immunology. Thought carries through the parasympathetic nervous system, creates a chemical that not only affects it is a chemical, but it is affecting your immune system. So now we're talking about thoughts affecting your immune system. So attitude, I think we discussed that before the show. You know, attitude has a lot to do with how you feel. If you say, I feel lousy, well, very much you're going to feel a little bit lousy. And so, you know, the mind and body are not separate anymore like they were in the 1600s. It's a unit. Your thoughts, your epigenetics, all of those things affect your overall health and well-being.
Right. Let's talk for a second, Dr. Willicks, about the word of aging. How do you define aging? When we look at our mind is going exponentially, you know, our brains are almost as big as the internet these days, you know, and our bodies kind of were just, it's the last little lagging piece I think we kind of have to like tote along, yes?
Yeah, I think aging is really, you know, the World Health Organization just named aging as a disease. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or bad thing, but to think of aging as a disease is a process. So we know that the physical changes occur in our body, but I think that we're learning that the more you use it, the more it stays in balance, and that includes your mind. So, you know, thinking about or working your brain is just as important. You said it earlier. It's not about going, you know, and doing 10 hours or 20 hours of aerobics alone. It's about working your mind and body together. So
right.
I think there's a balance between the mind and body, and we've learned so much more about cellular mechanisms and how to recognize how the cells are aging. And we're talking again about energy. It really, the end result of the rejuvenation solution isn't about how long you live. It's about how energetic you are throughout life. And that's really why I wrote the book, because I want everyone to feel that they, at any age, have, you know, the ability to rejuvenate their body and their mind, and they can recover some of the things that they may have lost from not using them. And there's ways to do that. There's things that you can do. And it's important, for me at least, I want to understand, well, what's going on in my body? What are the mechanisms? And then what are the solutions? So when I wrote the book to list the cause, and then the solution is the next chapter. So if chapter one is about the cause, then chapter two is about a solution. And the same thing goes throughout the book, and that is, tell me the cause and are there solutions? And you're not going to take all the solutions, but you can take a few of them and implement them in your health path and design a program that suits you. And I think for those of us that are interested in aging gracefully, then we're going to put more effort into it. So I don't know that aging is a disease. The World Health Organization says it is. I think the only value to calling aging a disease is that there'll be, you know, somebody will pay for us to use some supplements or some hormone to help pay we can code aging as a disease. I guess that's the reason. But for the most part, aging is a process, and you're in charge of how that process, you and your epigenes and your DNA to a certain extent, but more your environment controls how you age. You know, what you do, who you surround yourself with, and how you behave all control how you age.
You know, it's so interesting when we look back at medical school, even probably the medical school that you've gone to, and also myself, and we were taught about disease and therapies and treatments. And now my daughter is in medical school, and she says, we're really learning more about immunology than anything.
Right.
When you look at it, really the care of the physical body and how it works, biochemistry and all of the aspects put into it and its effects in the environment, really started to come about when they started having the first open heart surgery, you know. Whoa, let's fix the heart. Then we had to go along and we had to learn about stents. Then we started to learn about blood clots. Then we started to learn how can we replace this with maybe immunological drugs, you know, or maybe we need to put in some kind of, you know, I mean, AFib is huge right now. There's all kinds of machines and little gadgets that can keep your heart going even longer, you know, and if that one doesn't work, we'll just find another one. So I think sometimes we say, what is the wall you're going to hit? How big is it going to be until you decide you'd like to reverse it. Do you reverse it in your 20s and 30s just by some knowing differently, making better choices? Do you hit it at 40 and 50 when it takes out your life that you plan on? Or do you change it when you're in your 60s and 70s when you want to, say, have a little more time, right?
I think you start as early as you possibly recognize that your body begins to change, the physiology changes, your immune system changes in sometime between the ages of 25 and 30. You know, we don't have an exact age. Some people, it's a little later. Some people, it's 35. But there's no question that it is well before the age of 35 that most people begin a process of breaking down, where they can't repair, your stem cells can't repair as fast as they could when you were 16. And I think there's certain things that we give up as far as control when we wait until we're 40 or 50 to make a decision about how to maintain health. I think this is about a health maintenance program rather than about, you know, medical devices that can, you know, I don't want to have atrial fibrillation if I don't need to.
Right.
But I know that if I'm eating a diet that is animal-based for the most part, I have a greater chance of inflaming my conduction system of my heart, and I'm more likely to get into arrhythmic situations like atrial fibrillation. And I think, you know, I believe that there's so many things in the rejuvenation solution that can pinpoint how do I prevent, you know, how do I address this, and at what age do I address it? I say address it at the age of 25, start addressing it then, and we're going to have a much more vigorous life. And as you said, the largest growing population in the Western world, certainly in the United States at least, are centenarians, people that live to be 100. If I'm going to live to be 100, I want to be vigorous at 100. As vigorous, I'm obviously going to have muscle wasting and other things that are almost inevitable. But if I can slow that process down so that I'm, you know, it's like George Burns said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of my body.
Right.
Well,
right.
It's the mind and body. It's your environment. The other thing don't forget is environmental toxins and, you know, all of these electromagnetic fields that we're exposed to, you know, the constant stimulation from the computer and the iPhone and or the cell phone, not the iPhone only, you know, all the cell phones, you know, the lack of, I mean, it's becoming epidemic. It's a crime that, you know, the number one cause of death amongst teenagers today is suicide. We have to start paying attention to, you know, stress and how to address stress. Everyone has, the only way to avoid stress is to die. Everyone has stress. You may not recognize how it's affecting you. But I think in the rejuvenation solution, I talk about, you know, how to at least control some of the effects of stress and some of the decisions that you make about, you know, meditation, about exercise, and about things that you can do to slow down how the stress is affecting your life. Because we're going to doctors because we're breaking down. We don't go to a doctor because we want to say, hi, how you doing? We go to a doctor because something broke down. And and stress is the number one cause of visits to a physician's office. Number one.
Let's talk about nutrition for a second, Dr. Willicks, because,
sure,
you know, a lot of people right now, they're saying, man, we're going down that diet thing again. And I think really pleasure comes from food. I mean,
right,
that's just the way it is. I live in New Orleans, and you know, there's even the big billboards as you go down some of the highways, it will say, I live to eat, you know, and it's just the opposite, you know. Do you eat to live is what it should be. And really, I think the ideas and the concepts around food has really been such a social and societal thing that it's almost gotten to be rather a negative concept where people are saying, don't take away my pleasure. This is the only thing I have. And yet even physicians, you know, sometimes you'll go to some doctors, you know, and they're 300 or 400 pounds and they're trying to tell you that you've got something wrong with you. Go fix it. Here's a diet. And they hand you a piece of paper and walk out and you're going, right. Well, say what, you know? So I think the idea is that not that we all need to be, you know, under our BMI, being able to be perfect in form.
Correct.
However, it's the idea of being the best you can be, but
right.
taking responsibility for your decisions. So let's say, if you're really looking to reverse, you know, age in reverse, and you're being, you want the perfect body and live till you're 100, and you're saying, you know what, I'm 65, I'm overweight, I've got all these medical conditions, what we're saying is your book, The Rejuvenation Solution, all it is about reading and saying, you know what, I have choices. I can do something different. And whether you do 100% what's in the book, 50% or none of it, it's about making a choice for yourself today. And that's what we're talking about, yeah?
Yeah, and I think it's you said it. It's not about a diet. It's
mm-hmm.
about nutrition. It's about understanding, you know, where do I get the building blocks for my body? I get them from vegetables. I get them from fruits. I get them from plant-based nutrition for the most part. Do I get, you know, does it mean that I have to become a vegan? Well, I've been a vegan since 1977. No, I don't think everybody has to be a vegan. I think, though, that we really, really know that if your diet does not have, or your nutritional plan does not have a lot of vegetables in it and some fruit, you're going to be depleted and you're going to gain body weight. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're going to, your body fat is going to go up. If, you know, I tell people, if you could just for a brief period of time eliminate rice, potato, pasta, bread, and alcohol from your diet, just do it for 30 days
right.
and see how you feel. Well, the answer that I get in my office, at least, is, whoa, what do I eat?
Yeah, that's
if
true.
If my diet is based on rice, potato, pasta, bread, and alcohol, you're right. You're not going to find anything to eat. But
mm-hmm.
if you understand that, why do I say that? I say it because I want you to go to understand that your immune system is based in your gut. When you
mm-hmm.
when you control your microbiome, the bacteria that are in your GI tract, your immune system is going to be enhanced. It's not going to be diminished. And I think when we eat whatever we want for pleasure, we're increasing or decreasing our immune system, and that's why we have so many people taking antibiotics unnecessarily, treating viral infections, being exposed to a virus doesn't mean you have to, you know, that you're going to get sick. If your immune system is strong, and your daughter, I think you said it was your daughter in school,
right. Mm-hmm.
she's right that everything is about cellular, you know, we're learning the mechanisms at the biologic level. All disease is associated with inflammation of the mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. And I think
right.
the book explains why you should look at a plant-based addition to your diet that includes, you know, whole foods, not supplements. My biggest peeve is we have never studied the nutritional value of a food substitute. We've never studied that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was doing open heart surgery, I didn't tell my patients that they had to eat more plant-based nutrition because I didn't know. I didn't learn that in medical
right.
school.
Right.
So today I tell them, you know, you want to decrease inflammation, start eating more plants. And then start adding, you know, healthy fruits. And what are healthy fruits? Well, it's simple. I give them a basic rule, and that is any fruit that you peel or take out of a shell is going to have a higher sugar content than any fruit that you eat the whole fruit. So berries, pears, mm-hmm. plums, apples, they have both absorbable and non-absorbable fiber. That is going to be better for you than having 2 to 3 bananas a day, or having watermelon every day, or having cantaloupe every day, or having kiwi every day. some of those fruits are fine, but not on a daily basis. Berries are fine on a daily basis. You know, it's the old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Mm-hmm. Why did they say those things? Why was that said? Why did they tell me that? I don't know, but I know that it's true that, you know, my nutrition is probably number one change that I want to make in the American, in the rejuvenation solution. I'm going to tell you, if you ask me what the number one change is going to be to make a healthy longevity, it's going to be look at your nutrition. And it doesn't mean you have to be on a diet, but look at your nutrition. Start with nutrition.
I think the second one is movement.
Yes.
Movement is absolutely crucial. I think once you stop moving, that's almost, you can just start counting the days. You may as well get a clicker, you know? Mm-hmm. And when we look at it, it was so interesting because I saw a post somewhere on social media, and I don't even remember the conversation or what it was all about, but someone had posted, they said, oh, but I don't want to do that because it might move my blood clots. And I went, what?
What?
Yeah. And I think really what we need to do is not only do we need to be able to share this information, but we do need to listen to people's fears, because people have a lot of fears that are old. They're from old physicians. They're from old doctors. They're from old books. They're from old beliefs, old rules, and old dogma. And what we're doing now is we are creating a new way. And when we create a new way, we can say, let me show you this. But we really do need to address their fears, because you can share everything in the world with people, but if you haven't spoken about their fears, you're not getting through the door.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that you said movement, because if you think about it, you know, in 1970, let's just take an example. If you had a gallbladder removed, you were in the hospital for 7 days.
Right.
And you were laying in bed for 3 days.
Yep.
Or four. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get you up and about. Today, when you have your gallbladder removed, you may go home the same day.
Yes.
And the reason they want you home the same day is, you know, yes, the technology has improved, but more importantly, they want you out, up and about as quickly as possible, because that prevents blood clots. It increases the circulation. I have a program that I use when people say, oh, I don't have time to exercise. I say, I'm going to give you a program that takes you 4 minutes a day, and all you have to do is 4 minutes a day. At least to get you started. Can you do 4 minutes in a day? Now, would it be better if you did 7 days a week and you did, you know, 30 minutes a day? Yes. But if I have nowhere to start, I have got to exercise. It's very important for me to keep active for all my physiology. For, you know, it's easier when I'm fit to be able to make good choices in my nutrition. My mind is clearer when I'm fit. I have higher levels of serotonin when I'm fit. So there's chemical reasons why we're telling you to move. It's not just about going to a gym and exercising, but it is about the fact that you need to move. Movement is important. It's more, you know, but if you said, is there one thing that we aren't doing in our society? Most of us do recognize the value of exercise. Maybe we're not willing to pay attention to the nutrition as much as we'd like to. But the one area we're not paying attention to is we're in a very, very, very precarious situation with we're high stress. We need to learn ways to improve our REM sleep, and we need to learn ways to have our minds slow down for a period of time. We need to meditate, or we need to learn techniques like Tai Chi and Qigong that help us slow down our mind enough to get into that parasympathetic state of healing. Healing only occurs in the parasympathetic, when the parasympathetic nervous system is activated, and that only occurs in a place where your mind is quiet. It's not going to occur if you violate nature. And when you go to bed at 2:00 in the morning and you think you're okay, you're not okay, because your body is not designed for that. You need to.
You already missed the Chinese clock. I mean, the Chinese clock, you're already past the healing time, you know?
Right.
And it's like, if you can't shut it down and you can't have a place to heal in it, it's sort of like your bike gears are not in sync. The chain keeps falling off, don't you think?
I think that's exactly right. You know, in Ayurveda, we say that, you know, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. is the major time when your digestive enzymes are at their peak.
Right.
And between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. are the major times when all of your activity is involved in storing the foods that you ate.
Yeah.
So if you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're violating your basic bio, you know, your biorhythm. You can't violate nature and get away with it for very long.
Right.
You can think you're getting away with it, but you're not.
Yes. Well, Dr. Wilkes, let's talk in closing about the telomeres, because, you know, everybody hears about food and and movement, which we spoke about today, definitely about stress, but there's also about telomeres. And this is kind of something that's really new to a lot of people. However, really, if you think about it, it isn't new, but it's our awakening to it, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, telomeres are the ends of the DNA that help your cells duplicate. Essentially, we know that, you know, part of the aging process is when your telomeres are shortened rapidly, you're going to have less longevity. So telomeres are parts of the DNA that allow the cell to repair and replicate. So when you shorten telomeres, you're going to have a shorter lifespan, because short telomeres below, you know, 3 millibars of or so below, if your numbers start going below that level, then your aging is accelerated. And telomeres absolutely require you to have a quieting of your mind. You can't overstimulate the body and have the body without shortening your telomeres. So excessive, exposure to certain chemicals, excessive loss of sleep, all of those things are accelerating shortening of the telomeres. And telomere shortening requires some attention, because that is indeed one of the key theories of aging. The shorter my telomeres, the less time I have, in life. The longer my telomeres, the more probable is I'm going to live a healthy or more productive life.
You know, it's so funny when you talk about telomeres. I always explain it to people that you have this long pole, and it's got all these little Gumby men, you know, and all these little Gumby men are all along it. And the faster they run, the harder they run, they lose their pieces of their legs and pieces of their arms, and it doesn't come back.
Right,
and they're like,
okay,
so the faster I run, the harder it is. Yeah, it's not coming anywhere. So if you slow down, you have a chance to catch up with replacement, reproduction, reworking, rejuvenation, renourishing. But if you're out running it, you'll never catch up to that food truck down the street, you know? You're
right.
Just going to burn yourself out. So,
right.
I mean, I think sometimes burnout, it's like telomeres, hey, dude, you're burning yourself out. That's it. Got it now, you know?
Yeah. Great analogy. I love that. That's something I will use going forward. Thank you for that.
Well, you know, sometimes it's like we say sometimes these things, they seem so hard and difficult for us, but it isn't really. When we really sit down and say, you know what, you don't have to do, you know, that whole thing, climb the ladder, how fast can you go, put up your blinders, you know, take no prisoners, or be a hood ornament, you know what I mean? Like, just keep going, go. Well, heck, when the year 2000 came, we learned what that meant. The banks went down, people lost their houses, they lost their money, there was no more going. Now what? And that here we are now in the now what? And the now what is, let's learn differently, yes?
Yeah, and I think we're in a great spiritual time in our world. I think we're, you know, it's, you said it in the beginning of the show, and I think it's, you know, good to iterate it again that, you know, we're willing to talk about spirituality. Before,
right,
we didn't really pay any attention to its value, and
mm-hmm.
we're talking about, you know, our human values and why we're here and what we can, you know, how to treat each other and the concept that, you know, in the hippie era it was all love and peace. Well, you know,
right,
the reality is it really has come full circle to say we really, really, really do have to, you know, start accepting each other as human beings and protecting our gift, the earth, protecting, you know, what we say in Quechua, the word Pachamama means Mother Earth. And so
mm-hmm.
we say, you know, protecting Mother Earth and honoring, you know, honoring the gifts that we have. We've got to become more mentally, spiritually alert to what we're doing to our environment, because our children's children are going to have a whole different world if we don't pay attention to it now. And
right,
they're our future.
You know, Dr. Willicks, I think the key point to this whole entire conversation today is we might be talking about age in reverse. We might be talking about caring for body and our soul and our spirit and our mind. Truly what we're talking about is how can we honor that which what we've been given, and how can we honor our souls and our essence. And I think we're hanging around a little bit longer so we can kind
yeah.
of get that, you know. When you
right.
referenced about the 70s, I mean, I remember the 70s, you know, I was in high school
right.
then. And
right.
In the 70s, well, they talked about love and free love and all this other stuff. However, they were in an altered state. They were
right.
already in the other timeline, you know.
Right.
They sure didn't walk down the street normally saying that. They had to be altered
no.
to say that.
no.
You know, so when you think about it, we say, truly, you know, as we expand even further, we're learning that we have a real vested interest in keeping our body, our mind, and our soul going a little longer to
right.
learn more so we can help others learn also, yes?
I agree 100%. And we have to look out for our future, you know, for
yes.
for the future of our children's children's
mm-hmm.
children. You know, it's really important for us. We're the keepers, and we need to pass this on to generations to come. That this is the future. You know, in the indigenous world, they've said when the at least in my tradition, which is the Caddo tradition of the shaman, it says that, you know, when the eagle of the north flies wing to wing with the condor of the south, we will once again remember
mm-hmm.
what we
mm-hmm.
were like as people. So we need to honor that again. You're right.
And you know what? There's a whole lot of spiritual awakening now where people are saying and seeing spirits, and they're saying, mostly
mm-hmm.
they're seeing of the ancient Indians, those
right.
people of the land. And
right.
truly what they're saying is people are fearing them. However, they're really trying to uprise to be able to say, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Right.
And then maybe the people will get it, yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
That.
Well, Dr. Willicks, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Can you share
Thank
with
you.
The listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think the key factor is to go to elmedicine.com. That's my website, and they can get information about what we do. And, you know, so it's enlightenedlivingmedicine.com is the website, and or just elmedicine.com. And the Rejuvenation Solution is available in bookstores. It's available online at Amazon, and it's available through the website.
Very good. Well, Dr. Willicks, it was a pleasure to have you with us here today. I think, you know, as we start to say, what can I do? The answer is just read whatever you can. Reach
yep.
out, ask questions, right?
That's exactly right. Thank
Very
you for
good.
Your time.
Well, thank you so much for having you. Pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Robert Willicks, again, his book is The Rejuvenation Solution, The 7-Day Plan That Jumpstarts Ageless Health. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information. And definitely it's about being able to say, what can I change? How can I maybe see something differently? How can I change my perspective? How can I see all the other potentials that are out there? There are so many. If you'd like to have a coaching session with me, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Please check my website. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. And I do offer many sessions to be able to say, you know what works, what doesn't, and what are your fears? Can't get anywhere if we don't address those fears. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.